government. This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. Prayers in Iran. After rescuers on Monday found a helicopter that was carrying Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi, country's foreign minister, and other officials that had apparently crashed in the mountainous northwest reaches of Iran the day before. As the sun rose Monday, rescuers saw the helicopter from a distance of 2 kilometers. The head of the Iranian Red Crescent Society told state media he did not elaborate, and the officials had been missing at that point by over 12 hours. The incident comes as Iran, under Raisi and Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, launched an unprecedented drone and missile attack on Israel last month, and has enriched uranium closer than ever to weapons-grade levels. U.S. President Joe Biden delivered the commencement address at Morehouse College in the U.S. southern state of Georgia Sunday, receiving applause and cheers, but also spurring some students to turn their backs to Biden as his backing of Israel and its war in Gaza riles college graduations across the country.
I know it angers and frustrates many of you, including my family. But most of all, I know it breaks your heart. Breaks mine as well.
Biden's address at the historically black men's college in the city of Atlanta is part of an election year platform to repair bonds with young black men and address the anger over his position on Israel. An Israeli airstrike killed 27 people in central Gaza, mostly women and children. Fighting with Hamas raged across the north on Sunday as Israel's leaders aired divisions over who should govern Gaza after the war, now in its eighth month. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu faces criticism from other members of his war cabinet, with mean political rival Benny Gantz threatening to leave the government if a plan is not created by June 8th that includes an international administration for post-war Gaza. This is VOA News. At least 11 people were reported killed in attacks in Ukraine's war-ravaged northeast on Sunday as Russia pushed ahead with its renewed offensive. In the Kharkiv region, the regional prosecutor's office said that 6 people were killed, 27 wounded in a Russian strike on the outskirts of the regional capital, also called Kharkiv, while 5 people were killed and 9 wounded in an attack on the region's Kupiansk district. Russia said air defenses shot down about 60 drones and several missiles over its territory overnight and Sunday, while Ukraine in turn said it destroyed over 30 Russian drones. Slovakia's prime minister is recovering from an attempted assassination. A deputy says Robert Fico's condition is improving days after the attempt on his life. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports.
Slovak president-elect Peter Pellegrini called Slovakia a wounded country, but added that political parties were not yet ready to meet on how the country should move forward. And despite Fico's Russia-leaning government, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky recorded a message in which he called the attack appalling and totally unacceptable before wishing Fico a speedy recovery. Fico's shooting came just 3 weeks ahead of European Union parliamentary elections. If convicted, the suspect faces life in prison. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Senate will try again to pass a border bill this week. Details from VOA's Joe Ramsey.
An attempt in April to pass a bipartisan border security bill failed when enough Republicans withdrew their support at the urging of former U.S. President Donald Trump. Schumer said in a letter to senators on Sunday the Border Act would reform U.S. asylum laws, hire thousands of border agents, and seek to curtail fentanyl smuggling, among other measures. The previous legislation was tied to U.S. foreign aid for Ukraine and Israel, but this bill will stand alone, Schumer said. Joe Ramsey, VOA News, Washington.
Dominican Republic President Luis Abinader is headed to a second term following general elections. He declared a victory Sunday evening after his top competitors conceded early as he held a strong lead in early vote returns. The outcome reinforces the government's crackdown along its shared border with Haiti and on the hundreds of thousands of people who have fled that violence-stricken nation, something only likely to continue in his next term. He's built a Trump-like wall along the border and has carried out mass deportations of Haitians. Such policies have fueled accusations of human rights abuses, but have also been highly popular with some Dominicans. More at VOAnews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Botti in Washington. Today is Monday, May 20th, and here are some of the stories we are following. Democratic Republic of Congo authorities say they foiled an attempted coup early Sunday.
Talking about the leader of the group, who is an American citizen, he was Congolese, but American naturalized, whose name is Christian Malanga, who was killed with two other people.
Kenya prepares to deploy 1,000 police officers to Haiti to help restore security and peace in that country. There was drama over the weekend as Sierra Leone's Bar Association elected new leaders. Former South African President Jacob Zuma addresses supporters with a little over a week before the May 29th elections.
Another consistent message of former President Zuma is around the issues of land, that we cannot continue to call ourselves free until there is an issue of land.
And President Biden launches a $14 million ad campaign to reach young black voters. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley Sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Democratic Republic of Congo authorities say they foiled an attempted coup early Sunday. DRC Army spokesperson Sylvain Ikenge told reporter Eddie Isango of VOA's French and Lingala services that the alleged coup plotters included some American citizens and a British man, and that they were led by a Congolese naturalized American named Christian Malanga.
Sylvain Ikenge told me that the situation is back to normal in Kinshasa after the attempt of coup that some of the people tried to do. And he told me about the leader of the group, who is an American citizen. He was Congolese, but American naturalized, whose name is Christian Malanga, who was killed with two other people. And they were about 40, and they managed to get to the presidential palace for a few moments. Then they decided to go try to capture the residency of the prime minister, but they didn't find it because they didn't know. And then they tried to go to the vice prime minister, who is the minister of defense, Jean-Pierre Bemba, but they went there, but they didn't find him because he's trip somewhere. And then they decided to go to the house of Vital Kamerhe. Vital Kamerhe is the President Tshisekedi counselor and former minister of finance, who is positioned to be given the seat of the chairman of the National Assembly. They had an exchange of fire with his guards. It's there that the leader of the group was killed with two other people. That's what the generals told me. And he told me that there were many people and different nationalities. So there were Christian Malanga, who is the American, naturalized American, and his son, who is also an American, and two other people. There were two white men, American, that was caught, and one from British, I think, and one from Canada.
So, Eddie, help us understand that the army caught up with these coup plotters, these alleged coup plotters, at the home of Vital Kamerhe. You mentioned he was supposed to be the Speaker of Parliament. Was there any dispute leading up to this election for Speaker of Parliament? I'm trying to figure out how Vital Kamerhe got involved.
Yes, Vital Kamerhe is not yet elected like the House Speaker, but he would be for sure because there will be election in a few days, and he is the only candidate for the post. So if he is elected, he then will be the third personality of the regime because there is the president of the country, and then the president of Senate, and then the president of the National Assembly.
That was reporter Eddie Isango of VOA's French and Lingala services speaking with me from Washington, D.C. Kenya is preparing to deploy 1,000 police officers to Haiti to help restore security and peace in the country. However, Kenya's High Court ruled earlier this year that only members of the Kenya Defense Forces can be deployed overseas to keep the peace. There were reports last week that the government was ready to send the first group of 200 police officers, but last week, Ekuru Aukot asked the court to hold the Kenyan government in contempt. For more on the development, I spoke with Kenyan lawyer Carola Oduo.
When the judgment of court was delivered on 26th of January 2024, what Kenya government then did is to acknowledge that that decision of the court required them to do this deployment in a certain way. So in between, we are aware of an official communication from the Office of the President that Kenya and Haiti have signed a reciprocal instrument between the two countries. My thinking is the government is trying to say that we have then put in place mechanism to comply with the particular provision of the law that requires us to do the deployment, and therefore we are at a place where we can do the deployment. Now, as to whether they have complied to the dot on what the law says, I have not been able to see the kind of documentation, and I imagine for security reasons it wouldn't be public circulation, but there also be some documentation that would then show that they have complied with what the law requires them to do this deployment. Now, the lawyers, the petitioner then, in the first case, have now gone to court again, arguing contempt of court. And the argument is that by virtue of the judgment that was delivered then, the government ought not to have proceeded to deploy. Now, for me, looking at those two contentious positions, I think the information that needs to come out clearly is, if the government of Kenya started this process afresh in the manner required of them under the National Police Service Act, then they need to convince and show and satisfy the concern of the public that indeed we have done the right thing that we need to do procedurally and substantively as required in law. But the second part of it for me, which is now goes to the, I would say, the heart of the general public concern, is even as we take this decision, assuming we have done it legally, the way it is required in law, the general concern is, are our police officers up to the task, considering the long history of instability in Haiti? And you know, the story is coming out that it is run by gangs who are well established, who are well networked, and you know, well financed. So there are concerns whether our police officers can be able to match up, you know, that kind of organization demonstrated by the militia groups or whatever security formation that the government is trying to put in control. Are our police officers capable? Do they have the prowess and ability to match up that? Or are we, quote unquote, taking an irresponsible decision that may lead to the death of many police officers?
Kenyan lawyer Caroline Oduo was speaking with me from the capital, Nairobi. It is a little over a week before South Africa's May 29th elections. Former President Jacob Zuma, who wants to represent the Umkhonto we Sizwe or MK party in those elections, spoke over the weekend at the launch of the party's manifesto. Professor Sipho Sipi is a political analyst and a former deputy vice chancellor for institutional support at the University of Zululand. He tells me that Zuma was critical of the ruling ANC while promising to create new jobs.
The gist of it is that the ANC has been hijacked, and it has been also hijacked by people who not only are sellouts, but are also thieves. Another consistent message of the former President Zuma is around the issues of land, that we cannot continue to call ourselves free until there is an issue of land. And the ANC on this matter has sold people or has reneged on the promise that, among other things, there will be a land return to its rightful owners. Then there are issues of many other betrayals about the ANC, and also including how he has been cheated himself, and that MK, his party, or this party that he leads, is simply there to correct and to reclaim the historic mission of the ANC.
Professor, there are many issues that are plaguing South Africa at the moment. What did he have to say about employment?
Well, I mean, the former president reminds people that by the time he was removed, he had a plan. And that plan included dealing with the issue of unemployment. As people might remember, he came up with a whole 9-point plan, which included one, that the minerals of this country, which mostly are taken as raw abroad, that there should be a form of beneficiation. And if they're beneficiated in South Africa, what you will then get is a creation of jobs. But because we take our raw materials out as they are, we are not able to move up the value chain, which includes the beneficiation and the packaging and all that. So he was very clear about that. The second part was, if there's any material or product that comes from outside, we should find a way in which there is something called localization. That is, for those instances where some of the products could not be produced here, he came with a plan to say there must be elements of those products that can be produced at home. So effectively, we are saying we must move towards also reindustrialization of South Africa.
Professor Sipho Sipe is a political analyst and the former Deputy Vice Chancellor for Institutional Support at the University of Zululand. He was speaking with us from Johannesburg. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, May 20th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. There was drama over the weekend at the leadership election at the Bar Association of Sierra Leone. In video sent to VOA, ballots could be seen strewn all over the smoke-filled hall, the floor, and there was a heavy police presence. Presidential candidate Wara Seri Kamal says the election was stolen with the help of Sierra Leone's Anti-Corruption Commission Chief Francis Ben Kaifala, who presided over the election. She tells me that the results should be annulled and fresh elections held to restore the Bar Association's image.
I didn't lose because there was no such election. First of all, to have an election, there's a process that we were supposed to follow pursuant to our eminence. And so they're supposed to give statutory reports. And after the statutory report, the current officers, they're supposed to withdraw. And basically, after they do that, then the elections are called. In this particular situation, there was no such process followed. The elections were supposed to start in the afternoon after all of the reports had been given. From my understanding, I was not in the room. What happened, you have to understand, is because there's not enough hotel rooms in Kenema, and there was such a huge participation, over 800 people were registered. Me and my supporters stayed in Bo, the majority of us. Bo is about an hour away. On our way from Bo, there was a truck that was blocking the entire highway. So we immediately notified through a forum we have that we are running behind because there's a truck, and we showed them a video. We have videos of it saying the road is blocked, we cannot move. When we got to the hall, the president, the current president at the time, was not in the hall. Neither was anybody in her executive. My understanding, it was the vice president, actually, I was told by one of my supporters who was in the hall at 11, the candidate I was running against, Chuma Jabi, and Auguste Mara, we were not in the hall. None of us were in the hall. The meeting was called to order by none other than the Anti-Corruption Commissioner, Francis Ben Kaifala. What he did is they called the meeting to order, and they immediately moved a motion to amend the agenda to bring the election up immediately to be the first, the second item dealt with.
Let me understand. Were you in the hall when the elections were called?
No, I was not in the hall.
You mentioned the commissioner or the director of the Anti-Corruption Commission, Mr. Kaifala. I was reading a letter that someone suggesting, a member of the Bar Association suggesting that the election had been hijacked. Do you share that?
Absolutely. Not just hijacked. We were hijacked. We were bamboozled. We were treated as if we were not members of the association. I could not even vote. And the majority of our people could not vote.
So you would like what? A redone of the election?
I would like this election thrown out, annulled. I would like this election to be run properly. And if we have to bring in third parties, international observers, to come in and do this properly, then let's bring people in.
Wara Seri Kamal is one of the candidates for the presidency of the Sierra Leone Bar Association. She spoke with me from Kenema, Sierra Leone. CRM's anti-corruption commission chief, Francis Ben Kaifala, is denying allegations that he hijacked the weekend leadership election of the Sierra Leone Bar Association. Kaifala tells me that even though the process experienced some challenges, it was free and fair.
It is not true. I am a paid-up member of the Sierra Leone Bar Association. This year makes me 17 years as a lawyer. I am a fully paid-up senior member of the bar. I have a right to conduct elections because the MNA calls for a senior lawyer appointed by the members to conduct the election, and that is exactly what happened. I was nominated. Seconded, it was put to a vote, and I emerged as a winner.
They're saying that some of their people were late arriving at the event because of traffic on the road. Was everybody there before the voting started?
The Bar Association is a company limited by guarantee. And elections are conducted within the framework of the agenda. And when there is a quorum, as long as there is a quorum present, the processes of the AGM, the annual general meeting, can go ahead. So most of them were there. In fact, before the election started, all candidates were present long before the election started. And they had an opportunity to be nominated. They were all nominated. However, after they were nominated, they decided to plunge the election into chaos. And we had to make sure that the election goes ahead because the current executive tenure ended over 4 months ago, and they could not continue to keep going on. So we wanted for there to be a transition, and clearly there were people who wanted to disrupt that. And I had the mandate by the members to conduct the elections, and I did that.
So what can you tell us about the role of the police? Because I'm told that the place was overwhelmed by Sierra Leone police, and that some of them were instructed to not to allow some of the members to make points or speak after the election.
No, the police were merely there to keep law and order. If you look at the videos, you will see that there were members of the bar who were intent on ensuring that the elections don't take place. They were disrupting the processes. Two microphones were destroyed. They threw away ballot papers, and they clearly broke tables. So the police were there to make sure, first of all, that there is other peaceful members of the bar are protected, and they are not deprived of their right to enfranchisement, to vote for who they wanted to vote for. In fact, water bottles were being thrown at them, but they remained calm and they did not use anything.
The opposing candidate is calling for fresh elections.
Well, there are people who are sore losers, and this is an election. Somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. She clearly lost. She was part of the people who disrupted the elections. She does not have any legitimacy to determine whether there should be an election. I know, and a lot of members of the bar can confirm, that the process has challenges, but it was free and fair.
Francis Ben Kaifala, Sierra Leone's Anti-Corruption Commission Chief, he was speaking with me from Kenema, Sierra Leone. The U.S. presidential race is on, and each of the candidates is attempting to pull certain populations away from his competitor. The black voting bloc in the U.S. has historically voted for the Democratic Party. But as viewers Carolyn Presutti shows us, the Biden campaign is getting worried.
Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
One of the many ads voters will see this month aimed at people of color. A $14 million media package in May. Then the announcement of more than $16 billion for historically black colleges and universities. Senior advisor Steve Benjamin Thursday says the administration's investment of more than $16 billion for historically black colleges and universities is
unprecedented, a record amount.
And on Friday, President Joe Biden at the Museum of African American History, celebrating the 70th anniversary of a landmark civil rights win for education.
My predecessor and his extreme MAGA friends are now going after diversity, equity, and inclusion all across America. They want a country for some, not for all.
Black voters helped Biden beat former President Donald Trump in 2020. They still support him, but recent polls show about 20% of younger black voters choosing Trump. Cafe owner Shauna Gray is one of them.
The Democratic Party has not only taken the black vote for granted, they have disrespected the black vote.
Trump has been courting black voters, often citing his legal troubles.
And then I got indicted a second time and a third time and a fourth time. And a lot of people said, that's why the black people like me, because they have been hurt so badly and discriminated against. The mugshot, we've all seen the mugshot. And you know who embraced it more than anybody else? The black population. It's incredible.
The former president has added former rivals to his campaign team, like U.S. Senator and former presidential candidate Tim Scott.
We have a chance only to keep our money, not to raise our kids.
The Trump campaign told VOA black and Hispanic voters, like all Americans, are worse off now than they were under President Trump by a lot. And every poll reflects that reality. Dana Williams, the dean of Howard University's graduate school, doesn't agree.
I think that credible polls still have a polling problem when it comes to black voters. Knowing what questions to ask and where to go makes all of the difference in the world. You'll get a very different response if you go to a black college or university.
On Sunday, Biden continues his outreach, speaking to the all-male black graduates at the alma mater of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. But are this week's events enough to regain the black vote? The election is less than 6 months away. Carolyn Frasutti, VOA News.
It is time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, James. We begin the sport with the CAF Confederations Cup. Zamalek are the champions of Africa Club Football's secondary competition after a dramatic 1-0 win over RS Berkane in the second leg of the CAF Confederations Cup final played on Sunday. The two-leg final finished 2-2 on aggregate, with the Cairo Club winning the Africa equivalent of the UEFA Europa League on away goals. A sellout crowd in the 75,000 capacity Cairo International Stadium cheered, chanted, and waved large flags as Zamalek attacked relentlessly in the early stages. Jose Manuel Martins, coach of Zamalek, was excited over his team's victory.
Mentally, we were very strong today, and we were able to start the game in a very strong way. We could score more goals in the first half, especially in the first half, but after was a difficult game until the end. I think the African football deserve also the congrats for the level of this game.
In the CAF Champions League, Al Ahly of Egypt stayed on course for a record-extending 12th CAF Champions League title by holding host Osporos of Tunisia to a goalless draw on Saturday in the first leg of the final. A goalless stalemate was a predictable outcome, as both clubs had kept 11 clean sheets in 12 qualifying group and knockout matches en route to the title decider. They meet again next Saturday in Cairo, where Al Ahly have won 5 and drawn 6 of 11 Champions League matches against Osporons. Staying with CAF competition, the official draw for the CAF Africa Schools Football Championship Continental Finals 2024 was officially conducted on Sunday, just 2 days to the start of the highly anticipated youth football competition in Zanzibar. The 4-day tournament marks the conclusion of season 2 of the groundbreaking youth football competition by CAF. In tennis news, Nigeria Fatima Bello is off to the Paris Olympic Games after defeating Algeria's Linda Logarabi 4-2 in the final of the second stage of the Africa Olympic Qualification Tournament at the BK Arena in Kigali, Rwanda. Fatima Bello initially failed to qualify through the first stage of qualifiers, losing 4-1 to Cameroon's Sarah Hafofou. She returned stronger to win the sole slot in the second stage of qualifiers of the women's event. In basketball news, FIBA Africa Under 18 qualifiers will be hosted by Uganda and has been scheduled to take place from June the 9th to the 14th in Kampala, Uganda. And that's it for this Monday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson, and have a very good Monday. That's it for this Monday, May 20th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for beginning your week with us. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Barton in Washington, wishing that you will have a great week.